We have a wonderful Savior who is a wonderful shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is the example of what it is to be a shepherd. For under his shepherding, we lack nothing. He leads us by quiet waters. He leads us to green pastures. He refreshes us. He redirects us when we go astray. He is with us in the good times. He is even with us in the shadow of death. He calms our fears in his presence. He gives us victory in the face of our enemies, and his blessings and his grace, they are with us always. But if you don't believe me or the psalmist, Jesus says it himself. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. You see, as his sheep, we have full confidence. We have full confidence in his care, in his protection, in his forgiveness, and that every single promise that he has ever made will be fulfilled. And it's under his care that we also have complete assurance that one day that great promise will be fulfilled. The day that the pasture gate is finally swung open and we can enter as the sheep of God into that final kingdom that will be revealed when he comes again. But until that time comes and the new Jerusalem appears in the clouds, Jesus has chosen not to do his shepherding work alone. We learn from Scripture that Jesus enlists under shepherds to assist him in tending his flock. In fact, one of those very under shepherds is the author of our text for today, Peter. And if you pay close attention, you will realize that the very word that we translate as to shepherd or to tend in our text is the very same word that Jesus himself used when he spoke to Peter, calling him into his shepherding service. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Of course you know I love you, Jesus. Then tend my sheep. So in the end, it's really not that surprising that Peter spends time describing what a faithful shepherd of God's flock should look like. I want you just to listen to the description of a shepherd that Peter unfolds in our text. Elders and shepherds of Christ's flock, he says, care for the needs of the sheep. They willingly watch over the flock. They pursue only honest gain. They are eager to serve. They have a mind and a life of service. They are models of what it is to be a follower of Christ in their life. They submit to their elders and their appointed authority. They are clothed in humility, not only toward God, but also toward one another. And when they have anxiety, they place that anxiety on him. They are alert and sober-minded. They resist the devil as he prowls around trying to devour them. And with God's strength, they stand firm in faith. Who in this room would not love to have a pastor like that, who embodied all of those characteristics of what Peter is calling and describing to be a faithful shepherd? Which one of us would not leap with joy when we saw that man's name on our call list? And which one of us would not give everything, even our very lives, to be that shepherd? Well, some of you will get the chance. Some of you will get the chance not only to go into the field and to tend the sheep, but some of you might even get the chance to give your life. You see, ministry is about taking care of Jesus' flock. And Jesus does not call simply anyone into this task, but those that he calls need to be found faithful, according to what the biblical prescriptions are, according to their lives, according to their teaching, but at the same time, they are to emulate him in his suffering, in his sacrifice, in his love for the sheep. For you see, Jesus' suffering was not suffering that was in vain. But Jesus' suffering was a suffering that produced forgiveness. His suffering is the reason why we have hope. His suffering and his forgiveness is the reason that we can look to the clouds and we can cry, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." His suffering is the reason why we look to a future when all of the ramifications of sin, death, and the devil will finally be taken away. For those of you who desire to be shepherds of the sheep, there are two things that you can be guaranteed. One is that you will share Christ's glory, and two, that you will share his suffering as well. But brothers, if we are to suffer, who better to suffer with and to suffer for than Jesus Christ our Lord? Who better to have our lives intertwined with than Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came and bridged that gap and repaired that relationship and provided for us a way back home to our Father and a place in his mansion of which we can have 100% assurance in him? Who better to suffer with than the one who promises that his Father in heaven will transform our suffering into his glory and into our strength? For Peter reminds us of our Father's promise. He tells us in the text that one day he will restore us, that in the midst of our suffering he will renew our strength, that he will help us stand firm, that he will keep us steadfast in our faith toward him. And with a promise like that, perhaps even the sinful, fragile, fallen people such as ourselves can exhibit the characteristics of a faithful shepherd that Peter describes and calls us to be. We have a wonderful shepherd in Jesus. He is the example of what you are called to be and to become. Be bold, my brothers. Go without fear. Give all that you have, knowing that whatever you lose, it pales in comparison to what Christ has won for you. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.